This call is being recorded.
Okay, let's get started. Guys, first thing is finding a scribe. Who didn't scribe recently? And certainly not me. Well, I can scribe for today. That's fine. So first topic would have been status update and architectural diagram. But I think since Ruhmd is not here, we will adjourn that once more. Then next up is Hydra reference client implementation. I think that's mostly for the stuff like how we put it on GitHub, what's the process, Tomasz, Carol, you already have some code. How do we get this started, basically? Would someone like to speak more about that? Otherwise, I could start putting forward a clear proposal to set up a new empty repository.
I think it's starting with a new repository is a good move.
Okay. So let me put forward a proposal and we can discuss this. So my proposal would be we set up a new empty repository. We can call it Heracles.ts to signal that it's TypeScript. The reason I propose to make it empty is so that we kind of all can have a say on what goes in and what doesn't. So we don't start with, you know, like a lot of code that we would then need to go through and kind of review. And this way we can kind of, you know, build it up over time and kind of review every step along that way. So if no one has any comments about that, we can just vote on IRC. How many people are we on the call today? Four, right? Yeah, so everyone is fine with it. Tomasz, you voted plus 0.5. Do you want to say something about it?
Well, you know, clearly I've invested some time in whatever state of Heracles I accomplished. So that's maybe just, you know, some personal issue, but I completely agree. You know, you're right that I'm not entirely happy with what I have done. So I will probably be trying to push some of their solutions, or maybe you know, contribute my experience with the implementation. But it may be good to start from a clean slate.
Okay. Sorry, and I'm a bit slow today because I need to type as well. Anyone else wants to say something about this effort or comment, suggestions, whatever? If not, we can move on to the next topic, which is the strategy for maintaining snippets. from use cases as data sets and use them in test suite. This was put on the agenda by Pavlik. So Pavlik, I think you can give us some more insight in what you had in mind.
So I started playing with that last Saturday, and actually I thought it would be a bit simpler when I first thought about it. So my initial approach was that I wanted to extract all the snippets from the use cases into like one dataset file, and then just reference from the markdown files the IDs, the URIs of the particular kind of documents, and then have a little script that will parse the markdown and pick the snippets from the dataset and insert them there. But while I started like playing with that, it seemed like not very, very kind of like flexible approach, because it seems like in a markdown, in different files, one wants to emphasize just a part of something, and maybe using the same resource like with the full content doesn't make sense. So then I thought maybe we could use JSON-LD framing, but then I thought maybe better to discuss it first if it even makes sense before I try to like work on something a bit more complex than we need. But I also noticed that some of the snippets kind of in the use cases already are a little different in different files. So even if we have the same resource denoted with the same URI, in two different files, we have some differences. So that's one of the motivations for me that besides using it later for tests, we already kind of can need to maintain two duplicates of the same kind of resource in two different places, which may be a problem, maybe not. But what do you guys think about the, does it make sense to have it as a kind of one JSON file and put it in markdown, or better to have it like in sync manually and never make a pull request to update all the markdown files?
So the question is whether we want to separate the JSON files from the markdown files, correct?
Yes, that's pretty much the main.
If I may, first of all, to address what you described first, I personally I would go with separating the actual snippets into some JSON-LD files, I think, and then do it the other way around. So maybe have, I think Ruben wrote about Travis steps, so we could have Travis hook, which would then insert specific snippets, I mean, specific cases into this as snippets into the markdown docs.
That was my idea, to have a build step that injects it into markdown from the JSON.
Yeah, so not extracting from markdown, but the other way around, right? So that's one thing. And I've just had a wild idea right now. We could, once we have the snippets as test cases in JSON-LD, we can then eat our own dog food, so make the snippets into a, I don't know, Hydra collection, and so that the client, I mean, so that the test runner is actually Hydra client, and it goes through a collection of test cases, which are Hydra resources. But it's just some wild idea I've just had.
Just to clarify, by saying extracting, I meant the first manual step of extracting from the current files, and later, as you said, that we would have some script that would, from now on, inject the JSON into the markdown. So the extracting was just as a manual step, because we have them now, at this moment, in the current repo, kind of.
Yes, of course, manual steps, sure. And but the thing is, I think we would have to consider in what, so it's not just extracting snippets, but if they are to be test cases, usually, I don't know, test cases, they have an input and an output, like a JSON-LD test cases. And so I'm not entirely sure. I don't see how the snippets become test cases. If we can discuss that, or maybe, yeah, I think it's maybe we're ready to discuss it today.
So exactly, that's what I found. Another like thing that I didn't think first, that if we have, for example, read operations, it's quite simple. Also for search, read search filtering, that seems quite simple because we could have one data set and just work from that. But for like update and create, then we have different states of the data set. We have before the operation or after the operation. So that's pretty much makes it more complex because, yeah, we need to have a way to describing the states of a data set. And I've been working recently with Redux. I don't know if you are familiar with the Redux pattern, that it has a store. There are actions on the store and reducers. So the reducer, it's taking the action and preview state and outputs the next step. And there are also some tools that you can actually do like a time travel. So you have all the operations and you can see the state of the store at each level. So also I was thinking maybe we could have something like that, that you can have like an operation, which is like having some reducer. And then you could play the whole interaction as we have in the use cases. And the state is changing of the data set based on which operation happens. So the read operations don't affect the state, but all the writes, so either replace or delete or create, will change the state. So there's also some interesting tools that you can really have like a timeline slider and see how the that data set would look before and after each operation.
That sounds very much like what I and Asbjorn have been discussing. I wish he was here. Not sure I can ping him in time, but if we postpone it till next, or maybe put it on the list, so maybe he will join the discussion, because I think he will have some valuable input in the functional kind of way for building the API and consuming it. So maybe it will help with the test cases as well.
Okay, I'm not in a hurry and I'm happy to, you know, coordinate the efforts. I don't go too far with one idea, but I think together we can come up with some, you know, more interesting possibilities. Carl, Marcus, what do you think about what we discussed?
Carl speaking. I was just wondering why using so heavy machinery here. I was just wondering what's the use case for this machinery. I was thinking about this set of use case scenarios and those JSON LD scenarios as a, let's say, set of exercise files that each client implementation could use, I don't know, for unit testing or integration tests. So I was wondering why such a heavy machinery, as you said, Redux, that similar stuff like this could be used here.
I mean, one of the...
Go ahead, Pavlik.
And for the kind of injecting JSON LD into Markdown, one of the ideas was kind of to keep it dry. Also, because already I see that some of the snippets are kind of little different version in different files. And even maybe it's not directly related, but I've seen one file that the client uses like schema replace action, but the snippet doesn't even include this type. So there's already like some things. And now if we change in one place, we need to remember to change in the other place. So one of the idea was to have it dry. So if we change the snippet, we change it in one place. But here the drawback was that if you want to just highlight like part of the data relevant for the use case, we don't want to get the whole data. So again, maybe it's a bit too early to do that. And maybe it's better to start with the data based on that and then later on see if it makes sense to actually, you know, automate something with use cases if we find it cumbersome to maintain the updates as we change something. So I'm not totally convinced that actually we should start right away with that.
Okay, I understand the concept of transforming JSON into a Markdown documentation files, but this Redux part and the timeline part is somehow confusing for me.
Hey, Marcus, you were going to say something?
Let me just type. So, Carl, you said you are concerned about the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline, the Redux pattern that would be used here. I'm just not sure what's the purpose of this approach.
So I was going to say that it would be nice, but as Tomasz said, I feel we should either make it like actual test cases, not just extract the snippets and like re-embed them, but actually have some sort of, you know, declarative description of a test, which is probably, unless like till we have like the client interface defined, not that simple. And like the whole, I mean, it would of course be really nice to have it, but I wonder whether we should kind of do things the simplest way possible for the time being till we understand better what we actually need. And maybe that's already clear to you, Pavlik, because you looked a bit more into that, but I kind of don't think we have a full understanding yet of like how those tests would look like.
Yes, I agree. Probably we need to try a few things and maybe think about while we work on a client how we want to test it. And I guess after that we'll have more clarity how we can improve things. So I think probably we need to take it slow and focus how to do the testing and based on that see how that kind of connects with the use cases.
Cool. So how do we move forward with this?
Thinking about tests, I also have the impression that when I remember a while ago we removed the create operation, replace operation, delete operation, and I think thinking about tests, probably that's one of the things one could test. If there are specific types of operations, one could test if maybe they affect the data set in an intended way, because it seems like the client wants to make particular change to the data set and for that uses particular operation, this very low level kind of basic operations. And I think also that relates to currently in some use cases, it's still like check for HTTP post, HTTP put. In one of the use cases, we have check for the schema create, but the snippet doesn't have that type. So I don't. That seems like one of the things that could be possibly tested, that the state of the dataset before particular type of operation and after. And then Arno, do you guys agree that particular defined type of operation should affect the data set in particular way, or do you see more flexibility there?
So I think we need to separate two things here. One is like tests for the client side and one is tests for the server side. And I think what you just described, Pavlik, was tests for the server side, like changing the state of the data set. And that's like obviously interesting and good, but that may actually be simpler than tests on the client side, because on the server side, your input is kind of like is an HTTP request, and then you check the state. On the client side, you do an HTTP request, get some response, then you need to figure something out, and then you do another HTTP request. So you first need to describe what the client should try to do, and then check whether with the given data it comes up with the right HTTP request. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I also thought that I was sometimes maybe not clear where we kind of test the client or the server, but if we talk about client searching for particular type of operation, like currently one of the Dell update snippet is looking for schema replace action, it seems that the client is making some assumption about what would be the effect of that particular action.
Sorry, I kind of have a hard time keeping up with the typing.
Yeah, I think next time separate the scribing and churning. It's too much for you, I think, for anyone to scribe and chur. So I think next time we probably try to avoid that.
Yeah. So what was your last comment? Sorry about that.
Oh, it was that the client who's searching from the supported operation on the particular resource for something like replace action, schema replace action, makes certain assumptions about what would be the result of that action. And also the other thing, in one of the applications I work at this moment on, I want to implement like opportunistic updates on the client that if I add something to the collection, I can already add it in a statement made by the client to the collection, and then if it fails, maybe I need to remove it. But I don't need to, for example, add something to the collection and then refetch the collection from the server to make sure that the client knows what's the state. So in a way, I see there's not a clear separation about assumptions made by the client and by the server about how certain operations should affect the data, the state of the data.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess I kind of still have the same question. Like, how do we want to move forward in this? Like, do we want to kind of start setting up some test suite, or should we just focus on the client reference implementation and like create just some tests for that specific client for the time being, and then as soon as we understand it better, try to externalize those tests and make them more like declarative, more generic, so that other client or server implementations can reuse the same stuff. Carol, you're in the queue.
I was thinking about saying something similar as you said. Let's give it a try and try to implement something with some kind of test there, and then maybe we'll figure it out how we can make those tests more generic and transient between other implementations. Maybe let's do a single thing at the moment.
Okay. Public.
Yes, I agree, and especially that we focus on this client now, it makes sense to start with tests over there, and then once we have something that makes sense for this client, try to extract it into some more reusable test suite. But I would like to propose that we base the tests on the use cases, that the use cases in Markdown files and the test cases on the client are possibly kind of in sync, that everything that it's in the use cases we can test, which I don't know, seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me too. And we definitely shouldn't, like, the creation of those use cases shouldn't be like in a wasted effort. Like, we should really leverage them as much maximum possible way. Okay, so I guess we don't really need a formal proposal or resolution on this. We'll just start working on the client, on the reference client implementation. Take the use cases into consideration, like kind of transform them into unit or integration tests or whatever. And then once we have something which looks like reasonable and good and complete, we can think about how to extract them and generalize them for other implementations. Okay, I think this was the last agenda item for today. Is there anything else anyone would like to discuss or get feedback on or whatever? Public.
Today I've noticed that in this use case, the JavaScript snippet has the schema replace action, but the JSON snippet doesn't have. And in other use cases, I think it's still searching for post, put, and so on. So I'm not sure if we should make a pull request to somehow make it one way that we either use the schema actions or the HTTP operations, but at least now this one seems inconsistent, the one, and then we have difference in the other file. So I could help with making pull requests, just I want to make sure that we already kind of have one approach to that, or is it still open kind of to discussion?
Carol?
Actually, this variety there shows, inconsistency or lack of guidance in the specification. So I think this is a good exercise to make it nice and clean here. So you're right that we shall have, a consistent way of expressing these kind of things. The question is how we want to achieve it. And I strongly recommend it to have that approach covered in the specification, because it will maybe not force, but will give guidance for future implementers.
Okay, I think it basically boils down to a pull request ELF. So if you want to give it a shot, then we can move the discussion to the pull request.
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, if I might jump in, I think
we
have discussed it, in one of the calls, or maybe on a list, I don't know. And regardless, I think that we actually, I think we should have all the cases like in the one ELF linked, where we use the relation type and not, I'm looking at the other one, the 5 create a new event, where it says, find me an operation where the method is post and it expects an event. So I think the method is an implementation detail. So my suggestion would be to move away from this pattern and encourage the use of link relations in the first as a first option.
Yeah, I agree. Keying on HTTP operations is, to me at least, kind of a anti-pattern. But as Carol said, there is like the spec really doesn't have any clear guidance on that. And now that we removed those predefined actions, there is much less left there. So we should definitely try to make that clearer and have some nice use cases that illustrate that.
So question from my side for the pull request, I see two options, either reuse the schema org actions or again try to put back what we removed, which I think would be a bit confusing. So I would probably make a pull request with the schema actions, but if someone already kind of has a strong argument against them, I would prefer to have a Hydra namespaced operation. Maybe you can share it right away, so I don't need to later change everything to the other operations.
I think we discussed this before. We decided to remove the predefined actions and kind of, probably not formally, but at least informally, agreed that we will leverage schema.org actions for this. So I would suggest to go with that.
On the same note, is you having custom action types encouraged, discouraged, or I don't know, are we ambivalent? Where do we stand on that?
You mean like in general or for this specific use case? Or
no, in general. As in, for I think I have the answer already. It would be stupid otherwise. But so it's fine, and we should actually maybe have a concrete say in the specification about custom API specific actions, right? But first encourage the use of schema, right? And then anything that you would need that you don't find in schema, right?
Yes.
All right, cool.
I hope I captured that correctly, Tom. Public, did you want to add yourself to the queue, or was that checking who's on the queue?
No, just checking. I'll make a pull request with schema org. I think that's the best point to start. And we can discuss further in pull requests with other people.
Okay. And Tomas, I think you were about to say something.
I have an additional idea for the test cases, if we're ready to move on to something a little bit different.
Sure.
So I was just looking at one of the snippets. So probably putting... I was saying the same what you've just discussed, but didn't get a drift really. I think that what I said about input and output with regard to the client is actually two possibilities. One is, or maybe just the same, different side of the same coin, anything that you do on the client results in a request to the server, and probably. These are the input-output pairs that we're looking for, right? So when you do something on the client, you expect a certain request to the server. And then the other possible type of test case is that whenever you get something from the server, you expect to hydrate the state, so to speak, hydrate, right? So that's the other kind of check you can exercise the client with, whether it processed whatever it got from the server correctly.
Yes. I didn't understand. Was this a question or was this an observation?
I don't know. Observation, yeah. It's because I got the impression a few half an hour ago that we were kind of unsure on what the test cases actually are. And for me personally, I just had this thought which kind of filled in a blank. So yeah, an observation.
Okay. So the kind of problem I see with that is that it works very well for like one specific implementation, but it's hard to generalize that if you kind of inspect the internal state of the client, for instance. Like for yes. Something like a read operation where there's another request afterwards, that's easy because you like checked external behavior. But if you just do a read and then I don't know what, it may be a bit trickier. But there are certainly ways we could work around that, I guess.
One way I think is something of a test harness. Maybe we could, so that So there is some kind of test API, right? I think that's how the R2 RML language has its tests executed in a way. But then, of course, there's it's additional work on a client implementer. But I agree, it's an issue that we would have to solve.
Public.
So, I still kind of think that testing client and server kind of in isolation may be tough because we want to test maybe like the API, like if the client and server communicate in a way that they understand each other. So I think that's if we, for example, test like what if client searches for some type of operation, again, it makes assumption of what the server would do if the client invokes this operation on a server. So I think maybe for some things we actually cannot test the client in isolation and the server in isolation because it's about like how they communicate with each other, if the communication is working and not just the kind of, you know, how's the client implemented on the server, which shouldn't matter really for the like the spec.
Yeah, I agree, but it's very simple to mock out the server because, you know, it's just an HTTP response to an HTTP request. And you just inspect those. But like if you need to inspect the internal state of the client because it just navigates through an API or something, it may be trickier.
I think once we start working on the client and try to get all the use cases tested, I've seen in Carlos, he just tests the API documentation and entry point, I think. And I think once we get to replace, delete, create, it will get more interesting. So I think probably there will be some revelations why we test the running code.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else? If not, I will set up the new empty repo after the meeting, and I hope we'll see some pull requests soon.
Thank you, Marcus, for the heroic chairing and scribing and multitasking.
Yeah, that wasn't easy. Cool. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good week, everyone. Ciao.
Bye-bye.